Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Nikki Glaser Podcast.
Here's Nikki.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for listening to the show today, or every day that you do listen. If you're new, welcome. It's the Nikki Glaser Podcast, your daily Monday through Thursday dose of whatever the hell is on my mind. Good Lord. Yeah, we're gonna have some fun this week. I'm so excited to just, you know, usually when I get home from LA or some kind of like big thing, I think the last big thing I did was the iHeart Awards. I went out there for that. And then on top of that, it's just a bunch of running around LA trying to fit in comedy sets and podcasts and please remember me, industry. I'm someone who should be working and am I important? And please don't forget me, even though I live in St. Louis. That kind of just like hysteria of like trying to get on everything, say yes to everything, say yes to the dress, which is what I did with my stylist that led me to wearing that green dress. I said, yes, that's a new say yes to the dress. It's just getting women who are scared of being perceived as trying to look hot to just admit that it's okay to want to look hot. That's my new say yes to the dress. It's empowering women who think that they have to pick a lane to lean into their sexual side and not feel guilt about it or shame, because other women who wish they could do the same thing are going to make you feel bad about it because either they can't do it. Because I used to do the same thing of like hate on, I don't even know how I got on this topic. There's no plan. Is this news to anyone that I have no plan when I do these things? My biggest fear, let me just say before I continue, is that people skip over the part with me, just me alone. Sometimes Noah comes in if I can shut up for 3 seconds, which, Noah, how are you today? Never mind, I don't care. You were like, Nikki, you're the worst. No, I love when I get to talk to you, Noah, but it's here and there. But my biggest fear, Noah, is seriously, like, I remember people, and I am even reluctant to say this because it's so rude, and I remember thinking it was funny at the time, but when WTF first came on the scene or gained immense popularity with Marc Maron, people used to make a joke. I heard some joke that there was an app that would skip the first 10 or 15 minutes where he just talks. And I remember Mark hearing that, or like hearing that kind of, a lot of comics were making that joke of like, you skip it till you get to the guest. And I used to even make it, but it wasn't true for me. I always liked his monologizing at the beginning because it always was like very vulnerable and led to things that he probably didn't want to admit. And I just got a lot more when he was just, it was like stand up, you know? And so that's my biggest fear, is that people are like, I always skip Nikki's first 10 minutes. And so if you do, just never tell me, please, because I won't think it's funny. So that being said, yeah, I used to judge, I still do, when girls are like hot, because I go like, oh my God, they're just like trying to be hot. And that's my first instinct. Now it's not even my first instinct. It used to be my first instinct. And then I would eventually get to a place of like, let's be honest, you're just like kind of jealous that you don't have the balls to wear something like that and not care what people think. And you're angry at right now, not because she's being slutty or being a thirst trap, but because she has something that you don't, in terms of like not caring what people think. And that's what you wish. So if anyone out there relates to that, and you can pretty much put that on anything, you know, when people get mad at you about something, try to figure out what it is that they're really mad about. Because it's generally they're just jealous that they can't do what you are doing. And it validates them not doing it if they get to make fun of you for doing it. Much like I realize a lot of my resentment towards Andrew for being silly and doing dumb things and saying weird things is that he takes chances comedically that I am too scared to take. And so if I make fun of him for it, it revalidates the fact that like, I'm right to not take those chances, because look how embarrassing it is. Nikki makes fun of you in front of everyone, when really that is just a sad point of view. So I try to stay ahead of that thought. Anyway, this weekend, so fun. A mixture of fun and not fun. But let me just say that yesterday I had a really sad day. Noah, I asked you how you were today and you answered me honestly. You were like, I'm okay. Because some days you're like, good. And then other days you're like, I'm okay. So why the, I'm okay? I mean, you kind of got into it, but your boyfriend's out of town, right?
Yeah. Fiance, so his grandmother passed away. And then this morning, a good friend of mine texted me that her cat has a blood clot and she has to put her down. So it's just like a lot of death.
Yeah. Well, that's, and that brings up feelings of, you lost your dog last year and know how hard that is. So it's probably not, if you weren't reminded of it now, I just reminded you of it. But, you know, it's all like those kinds of things. And grandma's dying happens. Obviously, it's not as tragic as like if you were to say his mom, not just because of the closeness, because he might be as close to his grandma as his mom. I don't know that. But grandparents, you go, okay, this is a man who's in his late 30s, I would guess. Mm-hmm. It's time to lose. That's when grandparents go, I can't even believe he still has grandparents.
Right.
Yes. But it's still sad because it's death and it sucks. And you were alone this weekend and kind of maybe thinking about those things a little too much. So you're like kind of hungover from it.
Well, I woke up the other night, just like in the middle of the night, thinking like, whoa, what's it going to feel like when I die? Hmm. What's that going to be? Let's say, you know, I was in the same situation where I was slowly dying, you know, like just, I don't know. And I had to just kind of get rid of that and not think about it. Yeah. But as we age, I wonder if people think more and more about it.
They do. I know whenever I get in that state, I can only say what I do is I remember that first and foremost, I read somewhere, couldn't maybe be true, maybe not. Your brain won't let you think about death for too long. It will find a way to get out of it because it's too much of an existential crisis that your brain literally can't think about death for longer than like a minute, or like your mortality. I think there's some like, I read that in some place that I like trust. I don't read science journals, but you know, Reddit. And I read it on Reddit. And so that's interesting. So you can let yourself go there and know that your brain will naturally find a way out of it because it's too much. I have that sometimes when I get a little bit too high, or maybe some wrong mixture of getting stoned and my meds and like just, you know, and life. Something I see on TV or a song I'm listening to or a person on the street I pass that with when I'm walking Luigi that looks near death, and then I get on that thing. What I always try to remember that helps me is that if you struggle with the anxiety of death, is that before you were born, you don't know what that was like. Like before you shot into existence, you have no memory. You weren't here. You were essentially dead before your parents, before your dad went, and your mom went, wait, yeah, keep going. Like, and then laid on her back and put her legs up in the air, whatever it was. Or maybe you were an accident, or maybe you were adopted. But anyway, even if you were adopted, let's be honest, your parent, someone came. And so before that happened, first of all, you weren't even in you didn't have consciousness until who knows when. Do people know when babies get consciousness? I think it's almost like you can do weird things, like babies don't remember and whatever, it doesn't matter. But because there was a time when you don't remember when you, before you were born, you were essentially dead, you can kind of think of death as that way. Like you weren't, we're not scared of before we were born. When our parents met, hearing stories, we're not like, oh my God, what? So thinking about that, anything that happens after you're gone the same way as it's, and it could just be before you're born again. You know what I mean? I truly believe in like reincarnation. And why did I say truly? Because I don't truly. The word truly I used like the alcoholic seltzer, in which it doesn't mean anything. I don't really believe in it. I want to believe in reincarnation, which gives me more empathy for animals that I don't eat or want to help because, or bugs that I don't want to kill because that could be me. And not that this grasshopper has any. I don't really believe that grasshoppers or house centipedes have the same kind of like, I like my life and I don't want to die kind of things, but they do. I mean, every animal doesn't want to die. I think is essentially why the is just built into the fabric of your being. However, thinking about death is also the other thing that helps me is not listening to podcasts where the podcast host has no idea what she's talking about in regards to these things. But these things do help me. Is that I also think when I'm scared of death, I think about the fact that every single person ever has been through it and will go through it, and so can I. Because I've done things that other people cannot do and haven't been able to do, and I've been, you know, brave enough to do those things. Whoever you are, no matter what you do, you've done things that other people can't do. However, dying is something that everyone has done. You can do it too. And that really helped me when I was scared of kissing boys and having sex. I was like, everyone you know has done this. You know, not everyone, there's asexual people, but like you'll get to that point and you'll figure it out. Or a bridge will fall on you and you'll be disintegrated in 0.0001 seconds and you won't feel it at all. And so it'll be a shock, which I hope is how I go. I don't want to have that moment of, oh my God, dead. And I would rather either die slowly, which I know sounds terrible. And obviously I'm not like wishing that. God, please don't take that. I would like to know when I'm going to go so I could euthanize myself in Portland or Sweden. Those are like the two places I know that allow you to do that. Or I would like to go in a very quick way. I do recall being hit by a car in 2013. Thought it was the end for me. The only time I ever thought it was the end. Saw the car coming, knew it was going at a speed in which it could kill me, knew I wasn't going to be able to get out of the way. And my last and final words were, my final thought was, I'm not joking you, what I was thinking when I thought I was going to die was, I can't believe these are your last words. And what was I saying when the car was coming at me? No, 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 no. And I put my hand out like it was like someone about to drop a drink. Or like a baby that was about to spill a drink on the side of a table. And like, you know, that's like, no, 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 no. Oh, wait, the milk's going to spill. And I remember thinking, bitch, these are your final words. And then my next thought was, you're in the street and your dress is over your head and everyone can see you in a thong on 10th Avenue. And this is humiliating. You should get up. Not you've been hit by a car and maybe you are concussed and that. But it was embarrassing to have my head skirt over my head. So that's what I think about with death. I hope that helps you. I hope maybe you pass it along to people in your life who struggle with thoughts of death. And one last thing that I can turn you towards is a new podcast by Sam Harris and Ricky Gervais called Just look up Ricky Gervais, Sam Harris podcast. Whether or not you like those two people, they put together a podcast where Ricky asks these questions. What's it called, Noah? I know you're looking it up.
It's called Absolutely Mental.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. Absolutely Mental. It's $14.99 for the entire series. I think there's like 12 podcasts, 10 or 12, which Sam Harris does have a business model where you can pretty much get everything for free if you can't afford it, if you just write in. I don't know if you know about that. It's something that I want to adopt at some point with my when I make enough money to support people who can't afford things so that they can still have things. And then the people that pay can support the ones that don't. It's a good system. However, there is a podcast episode. I just listened to his podcast yesterday, Sam's own podcast. And he said, check out Ricky and me. We have a new podcast. And someone on the Sam Harris forum on Reddit was like, I can't believe you have to, if you're paying for Sam Harris's podcast, Making Sense, his like original podcast, why don't you get the Ricky one for free? And someone wrote, when you bought one of Sam Harris's books, do you expect to get all of his books for free? Slam dunk. Suck it. Suck it. You have to pay for things that you want that are entertainment that people put work into. Not this podcast, though. This is free. Just listen to the commercials. I try to make them entertaining for you. However, there's one podcast where it says, why do we care? Why are we scared of death? Is the topic that Ricky and Sam get into. And I bet you anything that podcast, if you struggle with this, which a lot of people do, that podcast will help you because those guys both come at it from a very logical perspective and also one that Sam will have some scientific reasoning that, and he's done a lot of psychedelics and seen things that will help you. I guarantee it. And I'm going to listen to it at some point, but if you're in desperate need for solace from the fact that we're all going to die, give that a listen. It's absolutely mental and I haven't even heard it yet, but sight unseen. Let's get Andrew in here.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true, and I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage. A 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken, Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two, Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm preaching to somebody today who is waiting for God to give you your next step. And you don't know what it is yet. You need God to show you your next step. Because God, I can't stay where I am like I am where it is. This isn't going to work. I have to move on, but I don't know where. A lot of time you'll use it as an excuse. Well, I don't know how. I don't know where. I don't know what. God, if you show me. God, if you tell me. God, if no. You know enough right now. And if you needed to know more, he would show you.
Hey, this is Stephen Furtick. I want to invite you to listen to my podcast, Elevation with Stephen Furtick. I am here to help you for the battles that you face in life, for the times when you feel discouraged, for the times that you need guidance from God. I want to give you the truth of what he says about you to help you rise to your full potential. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart's Outspoken Network for a year, and what a year it has been. Every weekday, I navigate our rapidly changing world alongside our series of fabulous expert guests. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Woke not just to the latest headlines, but also to the collective power we all have. Woke to the need to build community with those around us. Woke to how to avoid burnout, and woke to the ways we can all find joy in the madness. Make Woke AF Daily with Danielle Moody your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. And tune in to hear the ways I am working to stay grounded amidst it all. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. New year, new name, new energy, but...
same old us.
Oh, yeah.
And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. But that's not all. We will also have special guests to add their thoughts on the topics, as well as break down different political issues with local activists in their community. If you like to be informed and to expand your thoughts, listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hey, Andrew.
Good morning.
Good morning. How'd you sleep, buddy?
I slept good. Oh, you know, I was doing an away game.
Yeah, you played an away game. How was that?
Oh, sex on the floor.
Sex on the floor.
You
Why?
Ever do that?
Wait, doesn't she have hardwood floors?
She there was hardwood, all right.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
I think I do.
No, honestly, I the bed, she has a roommate.
Yeah, and the bed
makes too
much
loud. So we went to the floor.
Beds make so much noise.
Oh.
Was it against the wall? Why don't you scoot it away from the wall? Because is it the wall that it's hitting?
No,
or is it
no. It's
structure
not the
structure itself.
It's the structure itself.
Yeah.
You know, you got to build better. Why don't they make beds that are
because
for just
are cheap.
People that fuck?
Well, I was on my desk yesterday having
Whoa,
a Zoom meeting.
Whoa, what were you
meeting.
Doing up? Oh.
Hardwood. I was on my desk just, you know, on a meeting, and I kept hitting it with my knee, and the whole thing shakes. And it's a desk I got from Target. I got it put together by a TaskRabbit who was very manageable, like very good. But it just has a movement to it. And I go, you know what? When fucking George Washington was writing the Declaration of Independence, which he didn't do, but you know, like I was thinking of some like person. Things used to be made sturdy. Really, the craftsmanship. It used to be great. Burrow, for instance, makes great furniture. Burrow, I remember my TaskRabbit putting it together. I got a bunch of furniture from Burrow, and he was like, I've never put together such good stuff, because in the age of cheap shit and IKEA, things teeter and totter, and I'm sick of it. And beds need to be sturdy so you can bang and not make a whole bunch of noise.
When
so
George Washington would take out his wood teeth to go down on his wife, there was no noise on that bed.
When he would declare his independence from her pussy and then come all over her, like,
her
I guess pulling out is declaring independence.
Yes, it's the...
Declaration of Independence, I know that he did not have a... Did he have a hand? No, the Constitution. No, he didn't do that. The Constitution was later.
It sounds
I
like
know
you're...
nothing and I don't really care.
It would be great
time, I would figure it out.
Can someone take that, whatever Nikki just said, and make it like a debate? Like, I feel like you could do a debate where...
I would win and prove to you that Benjamin Franklin
set
sail on the... You know,
Pinta Maria,
Nina Pinta, Santa Maria,
in a pinto
with a pinto bean. We know that I know nothing about
and I know nothing.
History. John Hancock. Okay, wait, get to
Herbie Hancock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my God, I was laughing so hard this weekend when I heard Conan O'Brien's podcast. You guys, I'm so sorry. If you want to get in a good mood, and I know you laugh a lot on this one, I'm almost annoyed because on Reddit podcasts, where it has people talking about podcasts, I love Reddit, subreddit podcasts, because it's just podcast fans, which I'm talking to you right now. If you love podcasts and listen to a ton, Reddit podcast turns you onto the coolest, different, weird podcasts, but also they like have their faves. I've never been mentioned on one, and I don't want to mention my own because it might get, it's a conflict of interest, but yesterday someone asked,
it's like Pete Rose betting on his own team.
I want to put people to know. Someone goes, I just want a light everyday conversation with two friends who just shoot the shit, and I'm like, I'm searching for anyone listing my show and it's no one. I go, why isn't Reddit podcast into what I do?
I'll take the blame.
I need you to get a Reddit account so you can say, hey, I might just do it as Nikki Glaser because I have a Nikki Glaser one. Anyway, Conan O'Brien's podcast made me laugh so hard this weekend because he was talking about, there's this series he did last year. If you just want to, it's just him and his host. If you're a podcast listener, as you are, that likes to listen to hosts with no guests, I'm kind of over, I guess some guests I like, but I like podcasts where it's just friends. This is why I built this one. It's the thing I like to listen to where you don't have too many new guests and like your host like kind of change. It's like when your mom and dad have guests over and you have to like act different. It's just like, no, I just want it to be like the way you are all the time. Conan did a thing called Summer S'mores with his co-host, Matt Gourley, and his assistant slash co-host, Sona Movsesian, and it is so funny. They did it last summer. There's 8 episodes, I think, and they just shoot the shit and talk. And Conan was doing, you just reminded me of it when you said Herbie Hancock. He was talking about being cool with the kids. He's like, I know what the kids are listening to, Cole Porter. Like he just his way of saying Cole Porter made me laugh so loud on the street. People stared. Speaking of the street, loving our neighborhood right now during the summer. Haven't been more happy. It's like I live in the goddamn West Village of New York with how lively and fun the Central West End of St. Louis is. If you're a St. Louisan and you want to see me and Andrew out and about, that's where you go, Central West End. We live nearby. We are on the streets. We get recognized often. It feels great. We went to the baseball game on Friday night, got recognized a ton. It was so fun.
Well, Friday night was hilarious because we go to a restaurant. And we walk down, there's a blues band that I was really into. They were a little loud for your ear.
Too loud. They were great. I mean, it was like really good
blues. I just love Nikki's like, okay, we're going to have to find a restaurant far away from this brass.
It was like it was the loudest.
But
thing.
That's like the fun of it. It's supposed to be loud. You're outside. It's not like deafening.
Understand. No, it was. If you got too close to it, it really was. Like I'm glad it was to me because I feel like I've a lot of damage from listening to my headphones too loud in my ears and going to concerts and sitting close up to the thing. I want to start carrying stuff in my,
like white noise kind of like,
ear. What are the foam things that you put in your ears? You know what I'm saying?
Earplugs.
Thank you. I want to carry butt plugs and earplugs with me in my fanny pack, my new birthday fanny pack that I got from Andrew, which by the way, people have written me and been like, did you really like it? Did you really? One person did. And I literally can't. I'm wearing it right now and I didn't even plan on wearing it. I just love it so much because it just keeps, every moment you go, where's my phone? Where's my thing? It's like, it's on you, bitch. It's always on you. So I wear it in the shower. That would be hilarious if I did, and I might.
Please do. I think it's waterproof.
I love it so much. I'm going to get another one in a different color too because sometimes this doesn't match my outfit, but I love fanny packs. It's like my new thing. Thank you, Andrew, for getting me the gift that I didn't know I needed, which is the best gift. So, earplugs. Yeah, I think we all need to carry earplugs because it's really bad. Like it was crazy how loud it was. So we went to a restaurant.
Yes. We went to one. First of all, if you're in the hookah, do what you got to do.
There's a lot of hookah going on.
Hate hookah.
And they can smoke it inside.
I hate hookah so much.
It's tobacco. I don't understand why they can smoke it inside. Luigi,
what does hookah do for you? What does it do? Some people say it's like a relax.
It gets you high.
I fucking hate hookah. Well, it's vape, but it makes it like cool and like an ambiance.
Well, here's the thing. It's just as dumb as wine and alcohol. It honestly, it's just as dumb as anything.
No, but drinking doesn't fuck with me. You can drink.
I get it though. Yes, it does though. Because when people get too drunk, they get loud and annoying at a table next to you. However,
and then you put the butt plug in.
Hookah is the last to go in St. Louis. St. Louis was the last to, I liked it. I mean, actually I didn't get it, but I didn't mean to like scoot over whatever joke just made you laugh that you said.
No, it was good. People will call.
Why would
right
you put
back
the butt plug in?
Well, that was the joke. That
about
you,
what?
Because people get too drunk and loud. Instead of earplugs, you're putting the butt plug. The left turn was a callback to.
What I don't know what it would accomplish with the butt plug in that would make you
less
annoying.
You don't fuck the guy, probably.
But you want to fuck a guy that's annoying?
No, the point was the left turn. Obviously, it's the earplug, so I went with butt plug.
Got it. It would have made more sense if a butt plug would really actually help you in that circumstance. But instead, it doesn't. But it's still a good joke. I'll let it slide.
Slide?
Yeah, right up my ass.
Not if you have earplugs on.
I'll put the lube in my fucking... what?
What?
Okay. So, hookah is annoying, but it's the last vest. It's the last thing that St. Louis is clinging onto, and a lot of places are. It's tobacco, essentially, but it's flavored and has a good smell. People like it, I believe, because it gives you this high. I mean, tobacco gives you a high. When I have a when I had my one cigarette in the 10, I think it's been like 12 years since I quit smoking.
Since you were cool.
And I had one cigarette one time.
Yeah.
And it, like, since then, and it gets you high the first thing, and then it tastes terrible. But yeah, tobacco gets you high. And when I smoke, when Sherrod Small used to roll joints or blunts, and I would smoke them outside the Comedy Cellar, I'd be like, Sherrod, you have the best weed. I'd get so excited when I saw him because my body was like, whatever he has, it makes you feel good. And then I realized it's tobacco and weed, and I was wanting that. So it's tobacco,
but you don't blow that smoke while I'm trying to eat falafel.
But the thing is, back in the 80s, smoking was everywhere, and now suddenly we're like, I can't stand it. Let me just tell you a quick story that I did over the weekend that I want. I first of all, I have to share this thing that I got from this girl, and I will get to everything I was.
Can I just tell you though why hookah's worse than cigarettes?
Please.
The amount of smoke that comes out of a hookah is almost three times the thick of a cloud. I don't want to have to fly through a cloud to get to a bite of a gyro. I just don't want it.
But I will say that hookah smells better than cigarettes, for sure.
I don't agree. I think it has like that weird like fake, like it's like you're smelling plastic somehow. I don't know. It's just, I hate it.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah.
Each their own, for sure.
Yeah, each them up.
I wanted to share... It was the sweetest thing I got, but it was a girl. I saved it, and then I can't find it. Oh, here we go. It says, hi, Nikki. This is from Emma. Just wanted to let you know that I've been a longtime listener, and you've meant too much to me and helped me so much to me, and you've helped me throughout your podcast. I'm in the car, stopped for a train, and it made me think of you. Before, I would get infuriated by being stopped by a train. Now, because of you, it doesn't bother me in the slightest. Now I just think that this is happening for a reason, and overall this just doesn't matter and doesn't make sense to get pissed over. I have never received a better message than that, because I say this shit all the time and I try to practice it, but the fact that someone didn't get annoyed at a train and go, God, I'm gonna be late and this train is so long. That is such a fucking miracle. And I did it the other day with smoking. We were at my pre-birthday sushi rest. Did I tell the story about the woman smoking next to us? We were getting sushi outside, and this homeless woman came, and she's a local homeless woman. I've seen her a lot. She almost doesn't look homeless because she probably has like enough. She had a cigarette. So she sits down next to our table. We're outside. I'm with my dad. I'm with Andrew. Andrew and dad are... Their backs are to this woman, so they don't see her sit down, but I see her sit down at a table. She's homeless. She's obviously not eating there. She's just kind of like in her own head, kind of swaying back and forth. She lights a cigarette. She doesn't look like she's been having a good day. She's homeless, like clearly. She lights a cigarette, and I know for sure. I'm like, check. I do the wind thing. I lick my finger. I'm like, shit, it's going to blow cigarette smoke towards Andrew and my dad. And my dad, more so than Andrew's anger at hookah, my dad hates cigarette smoke so much, even though my dad smoked for like 20 years, okay? And he used to smoke inside.
It's probably triggering for him.
He just hates it. And his mom died of lung cancer. Your mom has
COPD.
COPD because COPD.
COPD.
I call it COPD. She got that cop dick.
Yeah, she
that
does.
Makes her illness sound a lot less.
COPD. You want to cop
it. Your mom got that cop dick.
You want to cop it? Yeah. So, the cigarette smoke. I didn't know who was smoking.
So this is what happened. And it was you. This is not an embarrassing story for anyone. So I see you smell it first, and you kind of look behind you and you don't say anything. And then my dad sees it. It's kind of like, oh, you know, and just like does the like obnoxious wave. So what would normally happen in this circumstance is that he would make a big stink of it. The waiter would come over, or he would go grab someone and go, there's a woman smoking here. She's not eating, and like complain because she didn't look homeless. Like it wasn't a situation where it was like, and I said, and this wasn't me being like, I'm Mother Teresa, because actually Mother Teresa wasn't a good person.
She was a big smoker.
She was actually like not a good person. It's crazy if you look into it. So anyway, I don't think I'm Mother Teresa, but because I am a good person. No, I said to them, I go, listen, this woman is, I go, I know this cigarette smoke's annoying. I hate cigarette smoke so much. It triggers me, my migraines. I said, this woman is homeless. And I'm talking at this because she's right there. I go, she's homeless. She probably never has a place to sit where like she feels safe, like where she feels like a human being. She's not sitting on the sidewalk. This is actually like a table where no one's going to bug her because she might be a diner. And like the restaurant was so busy that they weren't really checking. I go, let her have this moment. It'll be, cigarettes don't last more than 3 minutes when you're a homeless woman that's smoking to feel anything other than being homeless. Let's just like get through it. I go, Dad, You went through your up until the 90s, surrounded by smoke constantly on airplanes. We can deal with outside this woman next to us. And the thing was, everyone calmed down. And it wasn't because I was like yelling at someone. I was just like, can we just like be a little bit compassionate and understand that this woman, that's the her one respite of the day. She got this cigarette. And it didn't even take this long. I think it took 2 seconds to say it. Everyone calmed down. It was a little bit annoying. And then she magically gets up and leaves. Not because she heard me, but like it resolved itself without, and before she finished the cigarette, without having to be this thing where this woman felt sad and shamed. So these minor inconveniences. Yesterday, Luigi tugged on my arm and I dropped another full latte that I just paid $6.87 for. And it spilled all over the sidewalk, burning hot. Thank God it didn't get on him, everywhere. And I just didn't care. I mean, I don't even recognize the person that doesn't go, and that I just don't even recognize her. And that is what I got from that message from that girl, is that you can really take these things in life that you feel so victimized by. And by all means, I am not always like this. You've heard me on the podcast not be this like gentle with life. But when you can let it in and you can let these little minor inconveniences that seem like the end of the world, you can literally just, they kind of disappear on their own faster than they would if you made them a big thing. So thank you to Emma for writing that in, because it reminded me not to get mad at trains and traffic and all the things. And
you know what? I'm not mad at hookah anymore.
But well, hookah you can be mad at, because no, I definitely...
Yes.
But the other night it was interesting, because you were like, I'm not going to eat at this restaurant that was very busy and in like a really cool section, because the guy next to us was just puffing out the hookah, I mean, like a, you know, like the Pope. They just announced a new Pope.
The other thing too is I can handle it one cigarette. Like I know she's not going to... Hookah, it's an hour of just pure smoke.
And it was right next to us.
Yeah, but...
So we went to this other restaurant that had the same kind of food, less crowded, and...
incident, and I took that very calm.
Salmon incident.
Remember, I go.
Oh yeah, we went. Oh my god!
So we had a waiter.
No, we went to another place first.
Yes, we went to another place. It wasn't,
and they never came out to. We sat there for 15 minutes, and they didn't come out to help us. So Andrew had gone in to talk to the girl. She was very busy. We didn't make a stink about it. By the way, I called them yesterday to get takeout. The girl answered the phone. She was like, can you hold, please? I listened to her being like, yeah, I need to blah, blah, and I need to get this. Okay, do you want to ring that as credit? And I just hung up the phone being like, this girl doesn't need another order.
They don't have enough people in there.
I know.
It's a Friday night.
Taste of Lebanon. Get on it.
Just one more guy in there.
We'll never get to. So we went to this other place.
Called Kingside Diner. Mm-hmm. And I love Kingside Diner. Mm-hmm. Big fan. Mm-hmm. And we got a waiter who was very like distracted. And like he had a lot on his plate. I get it. I empathize for him. But he's a waiter that decides not to write down your order. And I said to Nikki, I go, look, just I don't like these waiters not writing down the order. I just feel like they don't get it right, especially when it's like a little bit like switched up, whatever, you substitute some things. I get the ego, I get the time management, I get all of that. And and then you said to me, you go, well, I worked at a restaurant, I didn't write things down, and I was able to do it. And Leslie was like,
can I show you this? So anyway,
I complain about this. Nikki goes, you know, I did this, blah, blah, blah. Next thing I know, I ordered a salmon, walk on the plank. It's the pirate special.
Yeah, he ordered like the walk on the plank. I go, what is that? And he couldn't tell me because it had meat in it. I think you were avoiding telling
me. No, it was salmon.
Okay.
I don't mind. So anyway,
I get my food. See, Andrew's is delayed literally
Nikki's
25
food's
minutes.
The one that has to substitute and you take out this and you put in this. He nailed it. Perfect.
I wonder why he nailed it. Why don't you read that message I got the next day?
Oh my God. So sorry,
DM.
we royally fucked up your meal tonight. For a total of 7 hours before, and I know now that courses aren't a thing there.
He's going off menu Thanks without writing things cool. down after working for 7 hours. That guy's taking some risks.
I did say I had empathy for him. I could tell he's been through some shit, but my salmon... He forgot.
He forgot
it completely.
And then he kind of like made up an excuse of like, oh, they thought the salads were a starter. It didn't make much sense. Anyway, he forgot the salmon. He brought it out later. When he delivered it, he said it's on the house. We were totally calm and fine. Great. And the whole time I was so starving, and I don't like to eat before someone else gets their food, not because I'm being polite.
Which made me hungry because I'm looking at your food.
Yeah, but I don't like to eat in front of people that are hungry, because when I eat, then they're watching me eat even more, which is with my eating disorder. I don't like when people analyze what I'm eating. And when people are are hungry and they're like, you can just eat. I go, no, because the whole time you're going to be salivating watching me eat. And it's annoying. I'd rather salivate with you and look at my food that's not being touched. So I wrote back to this guy. I go, Charles, you were great. Thanks so much for being nice about us being hungry and annoyed. Hunger makes me the worst person. So I'm sorry if you sensed a toot. Hope to see you again there soon. Because I was tooted. So I didn't even look at him when he got called over. Like, I was like not in the mood to like be the one to be like, his food is late. So I wanted Andrew to handle it. So I just like dug in my purse and acted like he wasn't there. Like, I was being such a cunt, but it was because I was hungry. If I'm in halt, hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, I'm going to be a bitch. So anytime I'm being a bitch and I don't know why, I'm hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, or some combination. Let's get to the news.
You heard it here first. Heard it here first. Yeah, you heard it here first.
Woo-wee. I hope you had a fantastic weekend. I hope you had a great weekend, man. Really a good weekend. I hope you had all the swells.
Yeah, there it is.
All right.
I did have all the swells. God, what a weekend.
Researchers. I like that the music is going. Like one horn player.
I love it. Reminds me of the morning show.
Researchers find that cavemen and women had raves by dancing for hours in psychedelic trances while wearing elk teeth on their clothes to act as rattlers.
Oh my God, that's so cool.
So they would have these teeth on mm-hmm. for necklaces that would actually make beats for them. It was like the first kind of music. It wasn't even instrument. On purpose.
That's really cool. I love this story. God, Noah, you always pick stories, and Andrew too. I know you pick them as well.
We work together.
Totally get to what I want to talk about, because I found the best thing over the weekend about... So over the weekend, Friday night, we went to the baseball game. It was so much goddamn fun because we live in a building that has Cardinals players in it. I met a Cardinal player in the elevator on Friday. I assumed he had the day off because he was in the elevator just like chilling. And he goes, I go, oh, day off. And he goes, oh no, we have a game tonight. And I was like, oh, cool. And I knew they were playing the Cincinnati Reds, which is where my family's from. I didn't have anything to do. And then later on, I was like, dude, Cardinals games, it would be so fun. I was also listening to my ex-boyfriend's radio show that morning, and they were talking about the most fun things to do in the summer in St. Louis, and one of the hosts said baseball games. And I was like, kind of like, kuh. I was like, oh, you get drunk at a game. Bleh. And then I was like, wait a second, I love baseball games. And then it all came together, and my parents, I was giving them a staycation because their Greece trip got canceled because they were supposed to be in Greece right now. And I said, I'll get you a really nice suite at this new hotel downtown. And then they were headed downtown to that suite. They were going to go to the casino, because I was like, go to the casino, I'll give you some cash for it. I just was in a generous move. Thank you, mood. Thank you, ADD medicine. And I go, let's all go to the game. So Andrew looked up tickets. We got dope seats, and we went to the fucking Cardinals game on Friday. It was so fun. That's all to say that then Saturday night, I was in a really sad mood because Andrew was going to hang out with his girlfriend. I felt like I didn't have really any friends. That's not the case. Saturday, we went to a pool party, had so much fun at the pool party that was at our apartment complex, which they have activities for us all the time. My dad always makes fun of us because he's been to my apartment enough. He's seen the flyers in the elevator. He's always like, is the National Waffle Day? Are you guys celebrating that on Tuesday? Because they'll do like Donut Day. You get free donuts. Sign up to learn how to make a martini class. And they do fun events to get to know each other.
It's like we're in like a retired nursing home.
It really is. And guess what? I need it. People need these things because we are so socially isolated. And
I'm ready to jazzercise in the pool.
We went down to the pool. I would do it. We went down to the pool to the pool party. Andrew had already been to a mixer when I was out of town still in the Caymans. He met a couple that he had told me about.
I knew you'd love them.
He told me I'd love them. Sometimes I don't trust him. I go, yeah, I'm sure I will. I trust you though. I knew I would. It was just like, I wasn't like dying to meet this couple, you know, but we go down to the pool party. There's nowhere to sit except this couple is sitting on a place that has like a couple more seats available. And he goes, that's my couple friend. Let's go talk to them. We walk around the pool. We sit for 3 hours with this couple. They are my new best friends. Shout out to Marissa and Pat, who live in the building. They are amazing.
He's a doctor. He's an
orthopedic surgeon. He's starting at a private practice.
She's a nurse for children.
She is amazing. They're both in there. The thing is, we need to find couples that aren't at the kids' stage of their life yet, which they aren't.
They probably will
be soon because they just got married last week. But I was like, we need to find younger people to hang out with. She's 20. I think she's 30 and he's 30 as well.
34.
Okay. He's 34. She's 30. Perfect age for us as a 41-year-old. man and a 37-year-old woman. They are so fun. They are so nice. I literally told this girl everything about my life that, like, if she called up someone and, like, she could ruin my life with the stuff she knows. But I trusted her. I got her number. I have friends in the building. We left that. I was like full of friendship. We talked for 3 hours. Amazing.
And I love, people. I'm just talking UFC the whole time while Nikki's talking like relationship stuff. We're having like, it's like we're a couple
it's
where we
like
break
Andrew
off.
Andrew and I are a couple that found a couple friend.
Yeah, yeah.
And we haven't even talked to them.
We're
going to
start walking to dinner and you're going to, the two girls are, you're going to walk in front like 10 feet. You know how every couple does
It's the greatest thing. You are my husband that we don't. Like, you have a girlfriend. It's amazing. It's like all I've ever wanted. So much fun. So then after that, Andrew left to go hang out with his lady. And I was like still feeling just high off of making a new friend. And I was listening and I decided to, I wanted to write a song. I was like, I've been talking about it a lot. I've been talking about it to literally a lot of just my therapy type people that I talk to about, like, I have a song in my heart. I don't know how to get it out. I've been talking about it for months and months and months. And I remembered when I was a junior in high school, before long before I wanted to be a comedian or anything to do with comedy, I had Mr. Herrig asked our AP US class, which he would be embarrassed, which out AP Euro class, actually. And he was like, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I had never even considered like what I would say to that. I was always an actress, but obviously in high school, I wasn't very good at that. So I didn't want to say that in front of the class. And I really, truly wrote singer-songwriter. He had me stay after class because he was so inspired by it. He gave me Amy Mann CDs and all these different singer-songwriter women CDs. And was
Tori,
like,
Amos, maybe?
I remember Amy Mann the most and Elvis Costello. And he was like, you really need to know these people to understand songwriting. And I just felt like, oh my God, like I forgot about that moment of like, I wanted to be a songwriter. And being a comedian is a lot like being a songwriter, except it's not as sincere. So what I did, I Googled how to write a song. This is Saturday night, 6 o'clock. How to write a song. A TED Talk came up, Noah. And this is where I'm getting into the caveman thing. A TED Talk came up about how to write a song. This kind of quirky guy that is kind of says kiss stuff sometimes, but he's really cute. 24-minute long TED Talk to a bunch of people that are probably not songwriters in the crowd. And he writes a song with the crowd. He's like, anyone can write a song. This is how you do it. We're going to write a song together now. And I learned how to write a song, very simple. And I promised myself, before Andrew left, I go, what did I say to you?
You're going to write a song before you go to bed.
I can't go to sleep tonight until I write a song. I will not allow myself to go to sleep. I also had the rule of I will not go to sleep until I tackle the laundry in my room to fold, because it's a big pile on my floor, like literally a mountain range of clothing. And I need to write a song. I got both of those done that night.
What did you do
what
first?
What did I learn? What I learned from the songwriting thing.
What did you do first, though?
I did both at the same time, actually. Okay. So what I learned was that music, and this, anyone can write a song, you guys, because he asked the audience, he goes, why do we write songs? And I want you guys to try to guess. Why do we write songs? Noah, Andrew?
I mean, either to tell a story or to get an emotion out.
Noah?
Yeah, I agree with Andrew, just to get out. A feeling.
I would have said the same thing, to emote a feeling, which is a part of it, but you hit it on the head, to tell a story. When before we had, you know, recordings, before we had writing, before we learned how to write, before we had learned how to draw in caves, we told stories around a campfire, and it would, you know, we would only learn lessons and for the next generation if we would memorize stories. What's the best way to memorize a story, a lesson?
Through a song.
A, B, C, D, E, F. So people put stories and lessons and feelings into songs so that they could pass it along to other generations. And to me, that was so beautiful. It was the same way that cavemen did raves. Like we wanted this thing that we all do now that has, no matter with technological advances, we still enjoy raves, right, listening to music. But it all stems from the fact that we want to be happy, and stories pass along messages and lessons that will improve life and make life better, or express an emotion that will help you get through the emotion that might be hard for you. So when I looked at it that way, I was like, okay, what's an emotion I have? This doesn't have to be perfect. The first joke I wrote was garbage. It was like when Siskel and Ebert get into a fight over if a movie's good or not, do they thumb wrestle? Like, it was literally that. Like, it was just like, oh, it's good. And that wasn't my first joke, but it was one of my first things of like intentionally writing a joke. that doesn't define me as a comedian. You always think that like someone's going to ask me, what's the first joke you wrote? And if it's not good, people will know I'm not Chappelle. Well, I ain't Chappelle. And I bet Chappelle wrote a shitty joke at first. And I bet most people wrote shitty songs that you love. I bet Taylor Swift's first song was shit. So I wrote a goddamn song. It was very easy. And all I did was follow the TED Talk. And I'll leave you to go watch that TED Talk. It will be the easiest thing to find. Just type in TED Talk, how to write a song. And I wrote a song. I wrote two songs, actually, this weekend. Something that I've been putting off my entire life. No joke, because it's too vulnerable. I might be bad at it. I did it. I was bad at it. But it is easy. And I also want to say that it put me in a really sad mood because I had to access feelings that I didn't know that were there. And it made me so sad. It was such a great way to feel my feelings. I sobbed yesterday because I just
needed to cry. Why did it make you sad though?
Because
like you said that you emoted a lot, but like what exactly?
Because I don't know what it was because I'm so out of touch with my feelings and I don't understand them and I push them down when they come up because I just feel so ridiculous that when I let myself think about the, like I was writing a love song kind of thing of like just processing some feelings about a romance. And I think just trying to write those lyrics and put the feelings into words brought the lyrics to the surface where the cry was like up here in my throat. Yeah. And I just was like on the phone with someone and I go, listen, I really need to cry and I don't want to do it on the phone with you. Even though she was like, oh, you can cry to me. I was like, I just really want to do it when I get off the phone. And I hung up the phone and then I did a podcast to the person that I wanted to talk to that I can't talk to. I did a fake podcast where I just, it's like writing a letter to someone, you know, and I just cried through the podcast and it only took 5 minutes. And then afterwards I was like, I'm good. And it was like, it was crying so good. It's such a release. And I never let myself do it. Next story.
I mean, jokes, when you write a joke, so much of that emotion, you try you try to throw it down. You try to make fun of it so it doesn't hurt.
But you've written songs before. You wrote Alligator Boy. And like, I'm jealous that you wrote out. I think that's why I make fun of Alligator Boy, because you actually took the chance to write a song that, well, I actually like.
Yeah, but I should add a couple verses, which I have.
Yeah, you
done
can.
A
and bit. A bridge.
And a bridge.
And then jump off it because that song sucks.
Man, that's a TED Talk.
No, I do love that song.
Sounds, man, the roller coaster in that sentence.
I know, I really put you through it. I want you to write a song about how I judged you for Alligator Boy. Next story.
Next story. Okay, Ryan Reynolds was inspired by his three daughters to speak openly about his own mental health struggles.
Yeah, I saw this. I saw him put out a thing.
Yeah, he put out a thing about how he has anxiety and how he's an overworker. And when I felt the absolute bottom, it's usually been because I felt like I was alone in something I was feeling. The actor said that when you talk about these things, it feels set others free. It will help set others free. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting to see a guy like Ryan Reynolds, who has a beautiful wife, Blake Lively. He's always so funny. He always plays characters that are so lighthearted. For him to admit that, it makes me so sad when I see people that I'm like, you could be free of this if you only knew how, if you only felt about yourself the way others think about you. But that could be said for everyone. And I don't know if it makes me feel better or worse that Ryan Reynolds struggles, because to me, if Ryan Reynolds is struggling, it makes me feel so sad for anyone that doesn't have as many accomplishments as him, because it just makes me sad for humanity. Like, he doesn't need to struggle. Like, I want him to find the path to not feeling like we need him to work all the time. And like, because it's there. And I think that there's something about posting about it and saying that you struggle, but there's also something about saying like, here's what I did to not accept that has to be the way it is. Like, I don't think we have to accept, of course we can accept feeling less than and feeling tired and feeling, you know, pulled in all these directions, yeah. But we don't have to accept that as like the way life is. Like, we can do things that don't make us feel that way. And that's what I want to find.
I feel like, I found it kind of comical though, to like that he had to like, I do it for my daughter. It's like that bit that I've been working on about like, you can't be vulnerable as a man without an excuse. And like, it
and
goes,
children always give you the excuse.
And
I
he's
love
like,
this
because of my daughters, I can admit that I have like, I feel like the next step is no, just for you, Ryan. It's just for you, bud. Like, you can just admit it.
Yeah. People like, without daughters can't go. I cried.
I'm doing this for my son, Spike.
Listen, whatever gives you an excuse to do it, but you're absolutely
right,
Andrew,
right.
Because there are people out there that are like, maybe a guy's out there that doesn't have kids or a wife.
And he's like, I want to dress up in a tea party hat. And like, because you have the joke about guys dressing in like little, like, is that the one you have?
Yeah. The one about you got to, that you have to blame. He blames his daughter. Like, the toughest guy I know can only be soft if he has his daughter as a scapegoat.
Like sports.
So he dresses.
People always having their children on the, like, next to them when they're doing the reporting. Suddenly it, like, they can cry.
Yeah. Oh, there's so much love there. I could
finally. That'd be so fucked up if they only had kids and a wife so that they could, like, finally cry, which I'm sure happens. Of like, I want to just be more vulnerable. So I'm going to let in this, like, feminine energy when really it's there for you at all times.
It is.
All you have to do is put in a fucking tampon, you pussy. And while you cry, yeah, and then you put out a little, oh, Ryan Reynolds, he's so sad, is the pressure too much?
No, I would see so Ryan sexy all the time, because when I walk dogs for you, I also had one other client who was this rich real estate guy who had two toy poodles. He was so OCD about his dogs. He would make me, dude, he wanted his dog to drink out of the same bowl, right? But he didn't want me to give the dog too much water. So he goes, fill it up half. And I go, well, why don't you just grab the smaller bowl? He's like, well, he likes that bowl,
right?
Like, that's kind of the idea of these
it's
people.
His control, not the dog's.
Yeah, nothing to do with the dog. I remember I was taking a shit and I heard him talking to his toy poodles.
No,
being like, and I was taking a shit and I came out and he's like, yep, all right, yep,
that bowl seems good.
But anyways, Ryan Reynolds and Blake Lively lived in this building, and so did Jake Gyllenhaal, Justin Timberlake, and
any
Jessica
juice
Biel.
To
the
spill?
Weekend, yeah.
Give me the one thing that's not going to get you in trouble that you can tell us about celebrities that might blow the lid off of something. Can I give you a hint?
The Blake Lively story?
No, the paparazzi.
Oh yes, The Weeknd lived there for a while, and Hadid. They were in the same.
Gigi. Maybe it's Bella. Maybe it's Bella.
And
Gigi's married to Zayn. Okay.
They called the paparazzi on themselves. This is happens apparently
how
a
do
lot.
You know they
I
called?
Never saw I know, I'll tell you. I was in the lobby and I see them waiting together, holding hands, looking out the door, waiting for the paparazzi to get in the
there.
Perfect spot to take a photo
before
of
before they
them.
Came out.
And
so,
it was just so organized, so and I was like, man, I should maybe get involved in this. And so when
just
they walked
know.
Down, I
oh,
was in
yeah.
the I'm in the background in on.
I think it's still on your Instagram unless you took it down.
No,
some
I,
kind of weird feverish like.
No,
I'm
I kept
wiping
it up.
My Instagram, so you can see Andrew in the background of The Weeknd and Bella Hadid's shot,
but looking that, like fucking
Bigfoot.
It
just proves
Bigfoot.
That celebrities, even when they're like, no, paparazzi, no, they've called them and it's all set up. So just don't unless it's Princess Diana, it's pretty much that, or Britney back in the day. They all set it up and they all thrive on the paparazzi to exist, even myself.
And what I got from Blake Lively though, and I think Ryan might feel alone because she's a little woo woo.
What do you mean?
I mean, like, for an example, one of the stories was she brought
this is all anecdotal.
Anecdotal.
Do you know what
allegedly?
That means? Yeah.
Yeah. On the roof, they were supposed to build like whatchamacallit, like a gate or whatever, so you can't fall, whatever, a fence. And she was showing that it was not safe by using her own kids, by showing how they could fall off.
Okay, I have support all this.
But by bringing the kid up and showing
yeah,
the
I
kid
would do
close
that.
To the ledge.
I would do that.
You wouldn't use your own kid
well, if
to
it's
show.
Supposed to be, if it's definitely a safe.
You could just tell them without using your own kid.
No, I think
that's
you bring up the kid
wild.
And you go, look at exactly how this could happen. I don't think it's wild at all. I support Blake and the nose job that made her career take a different turn. It did. Her nose job changed.
But I like
a
that
lot.
You like have to defend her in this situation. I almost feel like it's like contrarian.
I'm
like,
not contrarian. I swear to God, that story. I would do the same thing.
If I use Luigi and I held him out on the roof,
held
and I
out like a
like yeah,
like
the
blanket?
Kids were like a foot away from like she was using them on the ledge.
I swear to God, I would do the same thing because if it's safe enough, you would go, okay, so it's safe for me to bring this up here, but here's how it could for Marion.
Okay, so then use a dummy. Don't use your actual kid.
Who has a dummy of their kid laying around? Let's get to why do I care? Even though I feel like we're already in it.
Why do I care?
Why do I care if you're new is our celebrity news segment. Sometimes celebrity news will be in the before it, but most of the time it's a celebrity news story that's like, why do I care? And I try to find some reason why I care.
All right. When asked about her new season of The Bachelorette, Katie Thurston reveals that she did have sex in the fantasy suites.
Okay.
She told reporters, so you heard it here first. We all know it happens, but no one's talking about
it. Okay. Katie Thurston is the woman that showed up to Matt James's Bachelor season with a vibrator right out of the gate. She was carrying a vibrator and she said, you know, I'm going to need this. And it was like a joke thing. And she at one point started, she kind of ganged up on other girls at one point, but she is one of the two bachelorettes leading into tonight's opener. If you've never watched The Bachelor or Bachelorette before and you're a listener to the show, stop it. Just stop trying to be cool. Just, I said it in the, I could. This was where the could was in my MTV monologue that they took out. When guys say, I've never seen an episode of The Bachelor or Bachelorette. Kuh. Wow, are you a doctor? Are you a science rocket scientist doctor? Kuh. It does. What it says about you is that you're scared to like something that's a little bit gay.
But you can blame your daughter.
Are you scared to be gay?
You can blame your daughter.
It's not gay. It's actually entertaining as fuck. And it's really fun to watch with other people. I might invite Marissa and Pat over tonight to watch the premiere. I'm doing Caitlin Bristow's podcast Off the Vine tomorrow, where we're going to recap it. So if you want to hear a recap of The Bachelorette tonight,
but on ABC. Me and Pat aren't going to watch. We're going to lay in bed and watch UFC together, yeah, like real men.
And hug the whole time so that you don't have to punch each other. That's a thing I learned about.
And we'll both be the little spoons.
That's but why I care, is that, so the she had sex in the fantasy suite. Something to look forward to. That means that this bitch got dicked down in the fantasy suite, which is when the final stage of the Bachelor series, which has already been shot at this point. And that is the night before. It's pretty much the weekend before they decide who they're going to pick. It's down to two guys, and she slept with one of them, at least one of them.
That's kind of what The Bachelor does, though. I feel like it keeps it. We're watching the morning show right now, the TV show. Mm-hmm. I feel like The Bachelor doesn't let it get that dirty. Like, they like to keep it on the surface because they know middle America. They don't want to talk about, you know, doing anal in the shower or whatever. Like, they don't.
And that's why I'm very excited about a new show that I might be hosting coming out this summer.
Oh boy.
Can't tell you anything, but hopefully this week it gets announced.
Flavor.
Let's get to top one, bottom one. It's our Monday morning, afternoon, night segment. Whenever you listen to the podcast, top one, bottom one. We take a category. We list our top one of this category and bottom one. It's pretty much most favorite and least favorite, but we say top one, bottom one. We go around the horn, Noah included. Producer Noah, who is in Arizona, just got approved to purchase a house down there in Tucson, Arizona. And but today's subject category,
is it Tucson or was that on purpose?
Tucson. I say Tucson as a joke.
Oh, that's what
it
I thought.
Should be that.
That's how my dad says it too.
Yeah, your dad's right. I love your dad. And I still use the brush that your dad gave me.
Your dad, her dad gave you a brush?
I still use that brush. It's I don't know how your dad.
Hairbrush?
Yeah, hairbrush. It was by Moroccan Oil. You guys gave me a basket of Moroccan Oil stuff, which is great products. Does your dad work for Moroccan Oil?
Yes.
Okay.
I bought them yesterday.
Dude,
Moroccan Oil.
No way.
I swear to God.
You should have texted me.
Dude, I need a new brush. The round brush he gave me was amazing, and I use it all the time. But I have to, what I do, girls, this is a cool hack for your round brushes. If you get too much hair in it, which mine gets so much hair in it almost immediately, and the bristles are so hard on that thing that they can sometimes hurt my hangnails that I've been picking at and like puncture them and make them bleed if I'm trying to get the hair out. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? Yes, you do.
I do.
Okay, so it can make my, like, I just picked my nail yesterday because I was having anxiety, and it's like an open wound, and if I were to clean out my brush right now, it would stab it and make it bleed again and give me a whole ring of issues. So what I do now is I use a scissors that I use to cut my brows, like a tiny scissors or any scissors, and I cut through one of the tracks of the brush, cutting all the hair, which feels very gratifying because you cut through the hair and then you can peel it off very gently. You cut four times, like quadrants, and then it comes off very easily and you don't have to, and then you make a ball. So that's what I do with, and I've been using your dad's brush for like 3 years now. Great brush. So top one, bottom one. Speaking of things, wait, Noah, what's the category?
The category is things in our bathroom.
Okay, so things currently in our bathroom, top one, bottom one. We're always going to start with bottom one. Noah, kick us off. What's the bottom one thing in your bathroom?
Okay, the bottom one thing in my bathroom that I hate looking at is this $200 microdermabrasion wand that I bought
That totally doesn't work.
$200 microdermabrasion wand.
Yeah, what's so it called? Like sucks your skin.
Oh yeah. It's,
I don't want to say the company because I'm not very happy with it.
Right, you don't want backlash because maybe you're just doing. Yeah, but I want people to not buy this.
It is interesting though. Like the more you pay and a thing doesn't work, the angrier you.
Oh yeah, because you invest
to throw it out. It's a whole box with it's a kit.
Here we go.
If it was $5,
can I buy it from you and you send it to my mom? My mom will love it and not use it, but she'll just love having something expensive.
It like, has my skin cells on
she
it.
She don't
though.
Care. She like really? Buys everything from Goodwill. So, sure. I did read though the other night on Reddit, it was a question in Ask Women and it said, what have you bought on Instagram that you deeply regret? And then there was one that was, what have you bought on Instagram that you are so excited about? I'll do that for Reddit dump tomorrow because I saved it. There's so many good products I want to tell girls about and bad ones to avoid. But one of them was the ones that suck the dirt out of your pores. There was like,
it has that function. It's
that's bullshit.
BS.
If that were girls, we'd all have one. It doesn't work.
And I want to say, I think I was targeted because I've been looking for microdermabrasion around Tucson, and I just like everything is like med spa. I just want like a regular facial.
Yeah.
I think because I was searching for it, I was targeted. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is.
If someone knows of a nice facial place that isn't a med spa that Noah can go to and get a nice microdermabrasion, please let her know. Noah Injection, NOA Injection is her Instagram, and you can DM her that, or you can write into the show at NikkiGlazerPodcast@gmail.com, or you can leave us a voice memo at the link in our Instagram bio. And by the way, our Instagram is private, so anything we post there is only for fans that have like requested access. So that's just for you guys, besties. Okay, that is a great answer, Noah. Bottom object in your bathroom, Andrew. Oh, were you not ready? I'll go.
Yeah, you go.
Okay, my bottom one, I have it with me in my fanny pack. I grabbed a couple objects so that I could talk about them. Well, let me see the one that I brought that was bottom, because I have a couple tops. Oh shit. Okay. Oh no, I brought all tops. Fuck. Okay, so I'll say the bottom one is because I brought all tops, and I'm only going to do one, even though the other day I'd said one object from Andrew's room and I did four corners, but it led to fun. So I make the rules and I can break the rules. But the number one thing I hate in my bathroom right now is, oh, fuck, why did I grab all things I liked? This doesn't even make goddamn sense. I was just so, okay, can I do one that I changed my mind on? Okay, this one's good, actually. I hated this at first. So my nephew and niece came over to my place probably a month ago with my sister and brother-in-law. And they always like to take a bath when they're over to get ready for bed so they can stay a little bit longer and the kids can just like take a bath. I have no toys in my bathroom. They went in the bath and took a bath quicker than the showers I take, which I literally take 90-second showers. It was so fast. And I go, what happened? And my brother-in-law, Matt, said, there's no toys in there. They were like picking up your razor and being like, toy. And they were like, there's not hammerhead shark with sharp teeth. And they're like, it was dangerous. So they left. And in my bathroom, they left all their baby clothes because they changed the new clothes and he forgot to take the old clothes. So I've just had baby clothes in my bathroom that I moved all the clothes, but it just made me feel like I don't know, maybe I'm a dark person. It made me feel like because kids don't live here, that they like I had murdered kids and like they left like their, I don't know what it is, but it made me feel like a serial killer that had like these little artifacts of kids that were once here. I hated it. And I literally kept having this thought. I couldn't even pick them up and get them out of the room because I was like, it's just too, I don't know what to do with them. This weekend I washed the clothes because I was like, I'll just be a nice aunt. I'll give them back washed, right? But then there's a barrette that my little niece had, a cute little pink barrette. That is so cute and it does nothing. It's like an inch long and it looks like it's a little barrette. And it was sitting in my bathtub and I felt like it was like, I felt that lovely bones, like scariness of like, I read a lot about kidnappings. I think a lot about kidnappings and terrible things that happen to children. I don't know why, because nothing happened to me and I don't have any dreams of doing anything to kids other than loving them in a very responsible way. But it made me think that I had murdered a child, a tiny child, and that this was like my artifact. And it was in my bathroom for so long and I didn't want to touch it. I didn't want to do anything with it. And then I was like, what are you thinking? Why does this cause you so much consternation every time you see it? Nikki, why don't you just embrace it and be like, and keep it pinned up on the side of a rack? Like, so now every time I go in, it's pinned up and I go, it reminds me of Poppy and her cute little hair. And it's not a sad thing and it's not a creepy thing. And so it went from being the thing I hate the most because it makes me feel like a serial killer of children, which I don't even understand. I don't know why I'm admitting this to you all, but now it's my favorite thing because it's just a cute little barrette that like makes me think of Poppy, who is just the light of my life. Okay, that's my bottom thing. Andrew, what's your bottom thing?
But is that your top thing?
Well, it was a bottom thing that became a top. I make the rules.
All day. I don't know.
Go
it's
look
so
in your bathroom
hard
real
because
quick?
No, I'm. I just as guys, we don't have as many different things.
He probably has nothing in his bathroom.
You know,
that's the thing.
No, he has so much stuff. Noah, there's so much stuff.
You know what I hate, but I love
what.
I love fucking wet wipes, but I did not know that you can't flush them down the toilet.
Okay, you hate.
And I fucking hate that you can't flush them down
I
the toilet.
I bet you still do why because you don't have a trash bin in your room or your bathroom, so I know they get flushed. I know they get flushed.
Can I finish? But why are some things flushable, like toilet paper, and
because
then a wet wipe is the same
babe,
size?
No, it's not about the size. It's about what it's made out of. So you got it. I just bought
so
trash
why don't they
bins
make
for
wet
us.
Wipes that you
I
can...
just bought a trash bin for you because I don't want you flushing those anymore.
I don't even use them anymore.
Okay, so that's a great thing. If you flush wet wipes, just know you're a bad person that's doing something bad for the world when you really could just hold on to it. I know it's gross and has poop on it. Hold on to it. Walk out of the bathroom and find a trash bin and wrap something around it so that it's just goes in the trash. It's the least you can do for the environment.
But can they make wet wipes that... Why don't they make a toilet paper wet wipe?
And I know it would, huh? If anyone knows of it, please write to Andrew. Andrew T. Collin.
I think they have a biodegradable one. It's
there we go.
It's just not as thick.
Okay.
It's just not as thick
okay.
as a regular baby wipe.
Or we can get a bidet for you.
Well, if you have a biodegradable wet wipes
but
out
that's
there,
a great
if
one,
you're a
Andrew.
Company, please let
I do hate that as well. When I see wet wipes and then there's no trash bin in a boy's bathroom, I go, what the f-? Or a girl's, I get really mad because I just know that's not. Same with tampon cartridges, girls, or pads. Don't flush stuff. It really is like this. I know that it's so easy to just do it or... It's the example that I set an example for myself. This is years ago before I would like wanted to be a better person. I started feeling really bad about every time I went to a public restroom and you do the paper towels or whatever and you throw it. And there's let's say there's it's a trashy night out at a bar and there's paper towels everywhere on the floor. Right. And like toilet paper and like you drop a piece of toilet paper or, you know, you're pulling it off and a part falls on the ground that isn't used, you know, a little piece or you the trash bin's overflowed and you kind of throw it and it falls out and falls on the floor and you go, who cares? I'm going to leave it because there's already shit on the floor. Just pick it up. I made a rule for myself, almost like break your mother's back, step on a crack, that if I ever leave a piece of paper on a public restroom toilet floor or any toilet floor where I'm not cleaning it myself, that will be bad karma for me. It will come back in some way because it's the least you can do. And it just makes you feel good that like, you don't contribute and you're not careless and think that because some woman who probably doesn't have the greatest life has to bend over, is going to have to bend over
yeah.
or reach in a direction. Maybe she's already picking up trash, but she's going to have to reach a little bit further to pick up your little trash. So save her that time and just create a rule for yourself that it's the smallest rule. And maybe you can teach me other rules you have like this that make you like superstitious, but I've created a superstitious rule around never ever letting a piece of toilet paper or paper touch the ground in a public restroom. And I've probably kept this for about 8 years now. Where I do not litter in bathrooms anymore. And sometimes it's gross and you have to touch the bathroom floor to pick it up, but better me than a woman who didn't do it in the first place.
Yeah, I think
who's getting paid minimum wage.
It is wild to me that some of these people, they go into a public bathroom and they treat it like they're mad at like everyone in their life.
They
and so
are.
Let me piss on the wall.
They are.
Let me piss on the top.
It's funny
like
you say that because
day,
they are.
Yeah, they
That's
are.
That's where it's coming
That's
out
where,
of.
I know, but why?
If they like
and
themselves
I guess they could get
and
away
they
with
liked
it.
Their life, they wouldn't do that. And if they had respect for themselves,
yeah.
they would have respect for the person who has to pick that up.
It's
very
one,
hard to do.
It's the one place where they know they'll get no repercussions.
There's no cameras. There's no, they,
yeah.
no accountability. So it really is a good thing to do because it's making you accountable to yourself or to God or whatever might be watching you in that bathroom.
And it's a
let's
it's
get
a
to whole, the top thing. No, what's your top thing in a bathroom?
Tumbleweeds.
Tumbleweeds, yeah. I don't know what that means, but sure.
Meaning like one person starts this.
And then it creates an
one
environment where, oh, I can throw it now too.
Yes,
so,
exactly.
If you do, if you are someone who has done this before, because I was someone as an adult who was throwing paper on the ground for a while. And then because it just seemed like everyone else does, why not?
Right.
If you adopt this, let me know and see if it changes the way you think about the world a little bit, because I think it might help. No, I'm not perfect, by the way. So don't ever think that I'm proselytizing. I don't know what I'm doing. Noah. What's your top thing?
I want to say, wait, before I go to my top one, I want to say I am a person who does that. Like, I'll just pick up garbage in the street. And there's something that I really like about, like, if someone sees me, they probably think, oh, this ordinary woman is crazy.
Yes.
And then I just like picking up, like, if I see a receipt floating around or something at the top, like, near the taco truck, I just pick it up I just put it in the garbage.
If it's a clean piece of trash, because the thing is, think of how many pieces of trash you haven't picked up in your life. Even as a kid, when you were less aware of the world, even if you're fucking Greta, I don't, her last name is Hart from Thunberg. She probably has contributed to trash as a baby that she didn't know. I still remember a piece of gum wrapper that flew out the window when I was 4 years old out of our van. And I remember being like, where is that going to go? What bird is going to choke on it? And having that awareness. And I still, to this day, I picked up trash when I was in Cayman Islands on the beach, which I really recommend. Because although it seems like you aren't even making a dent in the world in terms of how much trash is in the ocean, and truly you're not, what it does do, the best thing about trash on the beach is that it's all clean from the ocean. So you're never, I picked up trash for an hour. The grossest stuff went after everything. Not once did I pick up a thing and go, ew, because it's all clean from the salt water. So it's actually the best place to pick up trash is that you'll never get something that's rotted or soggy or making like smells because it's all washed. So I recommend trash cleanup anytime. And just, and if someone thinks you're like a weird homeless person because you're picking up trash, them, because you're cooler than them, because you have you don't care. So no, what's your top thing in your bathroom?
Okay, so the top thing in my bathroom is I had to bring a hairbrush, and it's filled with my hair.
Yes,
it's called bought it a month ago. It's called a wet brush.
Yes,
and I like it better than the bristles, because the bristles make my hair look like poofy.
Oh, like
and
bristles, like on the brushed one your dad, like the round brush, like the.
So why is it a wet brush? Does the water go through the brush?
I have no idea why it's called a wet brush
because it's a really great brush to use through your hair when you're detangling. There's mini wet brushes. I've been using wet brush for a while. It is a brush that is very soft and will not tangle your hair as much. And it's called the wet brush. And I think pretty much every woman has probably seen these or heard about these. I don't want to say every woman. And if you haven't and you have tangly hair, it's a really gentle brush on your hair. And what a great product to showcase. I love that you got one. And it's a pretty pink color.
It's glittery.
So cute. Okay, my number one thing, and I have three things in here, and I'm reluctant to show you which ones, I had this, and then the clip. But I thought I had... Oh, I have... Okay, let me see which one. Okay, so from one of our sponsors, Unique Vintage, I got to pick out a couple things from there, which, by the way, everything I picked out fits perfectly, get so much compliments on. I didn't really want new clothes because I'm on this thing of like, I only want secondhand, but I picked out Unique Vintage because they make vintage styles and new stuff, and they were a sponsor, and they, I was like, okay, I'll pick out some stuff. I picked out this choker that has a heart on it. Okay.
Arr.
And it is not something I'd wear out because it doesn't match many things I have. Maybe I would put it with, I almost wore it for my birthday with my Taylor Swift shirt and my like badass outfit I put together. But this is in my bathroom. I don't know why it was in my bathroom, but it was, so it counted. I sometimes wear this when I masturbate because it's like bondage-y. It's hot. It like is chokes me a little bit. So it looks like almost like it has a heart on it. So it's like love. And I am now starting to dress up for myself sexually so that I can make myself, like sometimes I'm wearing underwear that I'm like, this isn't that hot. I try to dress up the way I would if I was hooking up with a guy sometimes when I really get into myself. And the other night I felt ridiculous, and I feel ridiculous admitting this in front of Andrew and you, Noah, and my room and my listeners.
And the dog.
Not as much the listeners, because you guys are just like not here. And if I run into you on the street in the Central West End of St. Louis, I will be embarrassed that you know this about me. But I like kinky stuff. I like bondage, not for every sexual encounter I have, but I'm entering into it by wearing what I would say is like a collar. Like I realize like I want to be kind of like a slave sometimes,
like a doggy,
like to like good girl. You know, that's not a coincidence that when Carla Forster had a joke that I haven't bought from her, but she gave it to me, where I like when guys say good girl so much that when I heard a guy say it to his dog after she shit, I like got wet. And and I realized like the way that dogs get talked to sometimes, and there is porn where girls act like dogs. I do not like that porn. Don't recommend that to me. But I like being an aunt, like a I have to do what you say, but you're nice to me. And this collar with a heart on it from Unique Vintage. Thank you, as you didn't know you were a sex supply store, but you are. And thank you also for the jumper. Sure.
Do you?
I've only worn it once, by the way, and okay. I've masturbated probably like 10 times since then.
Okay.
Since the one time I wore it.
Well, okay. I'm just wondering, are you in the moment like, are you horned up and then you throw it on, or is it a whole setup that you
Like, for instance, the other night I was trying to write that song and I decided to clean my room. And by the way, to get me to do anything that I'm scared of, I can do it if I film it better. And this is not about the porn thing. This is not, but the songwriting thing, I decided to just like record myself trying to write a song and talk about it, talk my way through it. And so I might turn it into like a YouTube video someday of just like, this is my first attempt at writing a vulnerable song. It's so embarrassing. So I filmed myself cleaning my room as I was working out the beats of the song. And while I was cleaning my room, a song came on. I was listening to songs that reminded me of the song I was writing. And that's what I said in the video. But then another song came on after that kind of got me horned up, because it was a song that someone had put on a playlist for me that made me think about having sex with that person. And I just started getting horny. I hung up a poster of Taylor Swift on my wall with tape, like a teenager. And I was kind of horny. And then I did a thing where I like kissed the poster, but I knew I was being filmed by myself, but I like kissed the poster. That wasn't why I got horny, but I was just like, my room was like lit in a way. I was like alone for the night. I knew that like maybe I was, and I was trying to fit the rug underneath. I put the rug that was in here underneath my bed.
Wait, did you passionately kiss this?
No, I was doing it as a joke for the camera. Oh, okay. Because I knew that it looked like a moment I forgot the camera was on me, but I wanted to make, if I ever do anything with it, I want people watching it to think like
Bo Burnham-ish.
Yeah, it was, honestly, I was inspired by Bo Burnham. I realized that later on. So I was in there. The reason that I got horny is that I was putting the rug underneath my bed, and I got so, my bed is very heavy because it's a really sturdy frame made during the Declaration of Independence.
Yes.
And I was lifting one end to put the rug under, and then I'd go to the other end and pull it up. And I was doing it all by myself. And I was saying, I don't need a fucking man. I was saying it to myself. I was like joking, but I was like, I am doing something that is so laborious for a gentle woman to do. And I was like, if I had a boyfriend, this would be so much easier. Or if Andrew were here, it'd be easier. But I didn't. And then I was like thinking about like, what if I just like called up a guy to like come over and be like, can you help me with this rug? And then like we ended up banging. It's kind of like presented a porn idea of like, that's a way to get a guy in your room. And then it just, then I got it horny, and I didn't put on the necklace that night, but that would, I did put on a nice pair of underwear and bra, and almost, I can't even get it. I'll get into what I almost did later, because it was wild.
You put a gown on?
No, it was wild, but I can't say it yet because I haven't done it.
Oh.
Once I do it, because I almost did it, but I just couldn't do it. But I am a sexual deviant. I just want to say that. It is, if no one knew that. But I like, as long as I'm not hurting myself or other people, I'm going to let myself, nurture the things that I am drawn to, which is this necklace. Andrew, what's the top thing in your bathroom?
You're going to get some hackers out there trying to get into your shit.
What do you mean?
Like, because you're like, I videoed.
Oh, no, I didn't video. I would never video myself doing anything sexual at this point, unless it was with like a partner, or I was being paid a lot, or I had it worked out. So it leaked accidentally because I wanted to save my career.
My favorite thing, I mean, I've talked about it, Rectacare, which I always put on before I jerk off. You know that.
Yes.
Because it really puts me in the mood.
No, Rectacare is changed my life. I love you talking about it.
I am a man that has a horrible asshole. As many people know, I've had anal fissure and I've had hemorrhoids, but the fissure especially, crying every night, taking a shit, thinking preparation H didn't work, nothing worked. I was literally crying every night. It's the worst pain on earth. And Rectacare literally saved my life. Like literally like saved me from depression, because it numbs your butt and it allows you to live another day. And now anytime my butt hurts after I eat spicy food and, you know, hard chips, I take down some Rectacare. I don't take it down. I put it on. And it really does. It changed my life. And thank you, Rectacare, for being over the counter, too. Because if I had to get a prescription, I'm too lazy and I probably would never get it. And I would just live with the pain.
I love that you discovered this thing that has brought you so much relief for this chronic issue. And I love how, I bet so many people have gotten turned on to this and have no idea that there's just a simple solution to your pain.
I had no idea that this was like, I just saw it at CVS. I like stumbled on it. Like
I bet.
Yeah, because I was hurting so bad. I was walking on all fours.
Well, it's a similar thing to when you had scabies and you just, we're like dealing with this immense firing pain. Like, this is like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
But you went to the doctor. You finally cracked and went to the doctor after a hilarious story when you had to pretend like you had a rash on your hand because the doctor was too hot and you didn't want to tell
her. The nurse was too hot.
The nurse was too hot, so he made up another illness, even though he was there to get his scabies taken care of. So he made up another illness on the spot, didn't get treated for the scabies, but then finally got treated for the scabies. It was a balm they gave you, right?
It was just a cream.
Who told you to put the balm on?
A doctor.
Did someone tell you to put the balm on? I didn't tell you to put the balm on.
You put the balm on?
Do you know what that's from?
Yeah, Larry David.
Seinfeld.
Seinfeld. Yeah.
I didn't tell you. You don't know what's in a balm. Jackie Childs, his lawyer.
The glove don't fit.
Yeah, he put a balm. Well, he's after the glove don't fit guy, but he puts a balm on. Kramer puts a balm on a burn that is about to secure him like millions of dollars because he got burned by a coffee company because he put coffee in his pants because he was trying to sneak it into a movie theater, a mocha latte, and. All of a sudden his burn disappears and they're going in to get a settlement from the coffee company. And Jackie Childs is like, Kramer, who told you to put the balm on? You don't put a balm on. He goes, a doctor told me. And he was like, I can just give you a balm. You don't know what's in a balm. It was like, hilarious. So the fact that you just needed one balm and the itching went away immediately for
like
this thing
literally
you've been suffering
within an
with
hour.
For months.
Scabies is
within an hour.
Literally the second worst thing that could happen to you.
I would love to hear from our listeners about things like this that they suffered with forever.
Oh my God.
And then you have one thing and all of a sudden it goes away and you go, why did it take me so long to do that? And I think it could help other people.
I think Mark Norman dealt with something similar, but he had a yeast infection, like a male yeast infection,
yeah.
And he just kept putting it off.
Yep.
You just put things off because we're afraid of the doctor because we're afraid what we're going to find out. But that's the place you should be the most calm.
Final thought. The other day, my elbow has been doing this weird thing where at first I felt like someone's gently touching me on the elbow to be like, hey, I'm over here, you know? And it just feels like the gentlest touch on my elbow. And then I realized after a while it was not someone. It kept happening. It was just like a tingle on my elbow, on the skin almost, like someone outside touching me. And there's nothing on there. There's like a little patch of dry skin, but it's not that. Then it started to feel like a spasm's different. I have those all the time. It felt like an inchworm crawling, like a very delicate, like, you know, like a spider web touch on my elbow. And then it felt like maybe it was underneath the skin. There was something wiggling and I would just, and then I would acknowledge it and rub it and it kind of go away and I kind of want it to come back. And then it would a couple hours later. And I told Andrew about this because it's been happening for weeks and weeks now. And he said, maybe you go to the doctor. And I said, absolutely not. Because I know of a skin disease called Morgellons. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. I am fascinated by it. My mom will not allow me to talk about the skin disease. I told her about it once and she's can't handle it because she understands that so many things are mental and that if you start thinking about having something, you can actually give it to yourself. And I know that people don't want to hear that and they want to think that their pain is from a thing that happened to them. I'm not choosing it, but even if the pain is in your brain, you're still not choosing it. It's the same. You can still get the same sympathy from me. Maybe not from your dad, but from me, everyone gets the same sympathy, whether or not you have, as someone with anorexia that got judged for like, why don't you just eat? And I didn't know why I couldn't eat, but I just couldn't. I've lived on the side of having something that everyone thinks I'm doing to myself, but I know that if it were my choice, I would eat. I just can't. So I understand that mental illness are not something you choose. And I finally accepted that, even though it took me many years. So for me, I have empathy for anyone going through something that's like mental and that's pain that is from their brain and that they're imagining it and doctors can't find anything on scans. I will have the same sympathy for you if a doctor found a tumor. Same. Whereas a lot of people don't get that. But what I realized, Morgellons is a disease. And if this is triggering, turn it off because I don't want anyone. If you hear about a disease and then you start to have it, let's not go there. You don't need to listen, but it's a disease that they think is linked to Lyme disease, which is a whole other thing, which is a government, which is a cover up. People have Lyme disease. So many people have Lyme disease. Anytime you see a headline that says blank and blanks, like a celebrity's mystery illness finally discovered was Lyme, it's always Lyme disease. Anytime someone is like, I have chronic pain, no doctors know what it is, I have a chronic thing, headaches or fibromyalgia, all these things that like people can't really put a name for, it's Lyme. it's always fucking Lyme. And Lyme is, I don't want to get into it because I don't want to like be mysteriously killed in the middle of the night by, you know, I'm serious. Like, I think it's a huge cover up. I have a friend who suffers with Lyme and can get no doctors to treat her because it is such a expensive illness to treat and so mysterious that insurance companies won't cover it. And so they act like Lyme is curable in 30 days. And it's not. It stays with you and does really weird fucking things.
Justin Bieber has it.
Yeah. And it people that have, they think that ALS is a form of advanced Lyme. They think that Alzheimer's might be a form of advanced Lyme. They think that Parkinson's, fibromyalgia, all these things that come up and people go, I have this pain throughout my body. You might have been bit by a tick and not seen the ring and not treated it. And even if you did treat it, it could stay in you. There's different forms of it. I don't know any of the science behind it, but I just know this. So here's the thing. Morgellons might be a form of Lyme. I watched this documentary on, I think it was Amazon Prime, called Skin Deep. And it's about women and men who suffer with Morgellons. And it's so sad because they have these lesions on their skin that open wounds that have fibers in them, like weird little pieces of, like, under a microscope, it looks like hairs and like blue hairs that your body does not make. And people go, it's from a sweater. It got stuck in your skin. And it's like, I don't own a sweater with, and then they put the fabric under all these tests and it's not a man-made fabric. No one knows what the fuck it is. And it's fucking Lyme. But these people are ostracized from their community and their family because they have this itchy skin problem that it rapidly gets worse and no one believes them. It's so tragic. And Joni Mitchell has it, of other people. And it feels like they have insects in their skin. It's terrible. My mom literally can't hear me talk about it. I feel like this could be a little bit of that in my elbow. And that's not to say, so let's say that I got bit by a Lyme tick early on and I have it. I do believe that even if you have something, you can mentally not go there and stop it in its tracks, because I have stopped the cold sore before in its tracks. I have stopped back pain in its tracks before that led it so I couldn't put on a shirt, by just mentally going, nope, we're not going there. Yes, I have a little inchworm that sometimes crawls on my elbow. I'm not going to the doctor. I'm not going to give it life. And I'm not going to give it, I'm not going to give it the power that I'm going to make an appointment and focus on it. If it gets to the point where it's my life is unmanageable, I'll get help. But right now, when it's just once in a while, I feel an inchworm on my elbow, it makes me check in with myself and go, maybe something's trying to tell you something. I think of it now as like a ghost being like, hey, Nikki, I'm right here. Your friend that died a couple years ago, like, I just want to tap you on the shoulder and be like, I'm here. Like, I think of it as like a ghost friend tapping me on the shoulder, because it doesn't hurt.
I know, but I agree and I disagree. I had numbness in my hands. I have had like my whole side of my body go numb before. I've had spasms like crazy. I've had weird itching, like things, and then I would just ignore them, and a lot of it was mental, of course. But then, like, when I finally did go to a doctor and found out, like, eliminating things does help.
If it is changing your life, this is not at a point where I would ever go to the doctor, because it's not hurting my life. I literally just go, David is talking to me.
But to think that it's the start of Magellan's or whatever.
But it's not the... that's what I could go to, and that's what I could... Because it does
But
sound,
it sounds like you are going there already without but, going there.
Even if I have it, I think that I could stop it in its tracks. Because I'm not blaming someone that can't stop it in its tracks and goes, oh my God, Nikki, you think you have control over Morgellons or cancer or anything in your body? You don't. I tend to believe I do. Because if my mind can get to a place where I go, thank you for... The fact that I stopped a cold sore in its tracks when it was already at the point where it was going headed to a blister, and everything I read online said, this is the, if you've had cold sores before, you know, the point where of point of no return, you know what I'm talking about. The fact that I was able to meditate and say, thank you for coming, I acknowledge you, but you already made, I know you're a sign of me being stressed and I'm going to meditate and get you away. And it was able to go away. I think I have mind control over things. And by saying mind control, I also mean I have no control, because no one has control over anything that they do. But I believe that going to the doctor before it's inconveniencing my life would be giving it more power than it deserves.
But the only problem with that is a lot of cancers, they start with little symptoms, like little things.
Yeah.
And whether you think you can stop it or not, genetically, you can't.
I know.
And a lot of people die, just like Steve Jobs thinking he could stop his cancer by eating plums or whatever the hell he did.
Yes.
But
I don't think that I would do that, because I feel like if cancer was killing me, I would try to do the
like if it was actually physically making my life hell.
My thing is like, I think like if you
if
have
I felt
something...
a lump in my boob and it didn't hurt, I would do something about it because yes. There's enough thing. But if I felt a lump in my, if I felt a tickle in my boob that somehow like.
I was in your room.
I try to listen to my body and go, is this necessary or not?
Of course.
And a little inchworm feeling, phantom inchworm on my elbow, not enough.
I've been the king of overreacting, asking my dad to feel my balls because he's, you know, a good looking man. And yeah. But he's a doctor.
Same joke.
And, you know, I thought maybe I have testicular cancer because my balls were, you know, bigger than I even imagined. And he felt my balls like reluctantly. And I've gone through the ringer of like overreacting. Yeah, yeah. That being said, if something does feel very awkward, that isn't it. It could getting something early and figuring it out.
How many stories have you heard of? I went in for this thing that I didn't even want to get checked on, and then it turns out they found 18 tumors in my gallbladder that I wouldn't have even known about. Yes,
and one of
so
our friends
examples.
Is an orthopedist who's
our new best friend is an orthopedic surgeon
who does shoulder and elbow, and you could ask him over
about my phantom
just
inchworm.
Be like, what is this over here?
I'm not going to until it starts to hurt my life.
I'm going to pretend I have it.
If you have a phantom inchworm, let me know what you did about it. But right now, I'm not going to do anything. Thank you so much for listening today. We have a full week of shows. This is one of my favorite podcasts for me. I feel really good going into the week. We have a lot more to cover this week. And we're going to have so much fun. I'm in town. Usually I'm like leaving town. I have to go somewhere. I'm in it again. We're chilling.
Chilling like McGowan.
Luigi. Chilling like Christopher Columbus. All right, guys. Thanks for listening to the show. Whether it was your first time, second time, or, you know, I don't know. What is this number? 53? Is that right? 40 something. Okay. Well, thanks for listening, you guys. And write into us and we'll read your listener mail on Thursday. Jackpot.
Jackpot.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy, and I'm your host, Elliot Connie. Jay is the woman in this dynamic who is currently co-parenting two young boys with her former partner, David.
David, he is a leader. He just don't want to leave me.
But how do you lead a woman? How do you lead in a relationship? Like, what's the blueprint?
David, you just asked the most important question. Listen to Family Therapy on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app.
Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner.
Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people,
It gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.